The 62nd chapter, the first verse, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored, but they that have gathered it shall eat it, and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare you the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughters of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken." Now right here it says, "Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him." And it says in the 11th verse, "Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world." Now, I'd like to just talk just a few minutes here on the end of the world. I think most of us will agree that we're in the end of the world. I remember one writer many years ago, according to the scriptures, he made the statement that the end of all things was then at hand. Now, we find in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthews, with which most of us are familiar, a few things concerning the end of the world, when you speak of the end of the world. "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For whithersoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and upon him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then he goes on to speak of the 10 virgins here following this. He follows this teaching here with the parable of the 10 virgins. Now, I'd like to talk with you just a few minutes concerning the end of the world. First of all, he tells us here that if people begin to say that my Lord delayeth his coming, or that is, I feel like it's yet a while before the Lord comes. I don't feel like the coming of the Lord's right on us. I feel like it's yet a while. If they take that attitude, he said, and they begin to gossip, backbite, that is, smite their servants, smite each other with their words, begin to backbite, begin to tattle, become tattlers and busybodies. He said that in the day that man is not looking for me, I will come unto him. In other words, I will prepare his heart to where he can't find out at the last minute and rush in and make a change. I'll prepare his heart because of his evil doings and because of his corruption, because he doesn't love me enough to want to do right, that I will prepare his heart to where there won't be any last minute change for him, to where he can run and change his mind at the last few minutes. I'll just let him go right on doing his evil until I come. Now then, he said, but concerning the servant that is willing to be busy doing something for God, feeding the household of God, winning souls, or reaching out to try to help humanity get the right understanding of God, he said, that servant, when I come, blessed is that servant that I so find doing, I will make him ruler over all that I have, over all my goods. So we see here that God is pointing out the things that's going to take place at his coming. Now he said, many false Christs shall arise. Many people shall come and make the confession that he is Christ. Many of them will acknowledge that he is Christ. But he said that still doesn't mean that they're right with God. He said, and they will arise, and they'll have great revivals, and there'll be great signs and great wonders, insomuch that it would deceive the very elect, if it was possible. Though they might not come to the name of the Lord Jesus, they might not teach people that they ought to repent of their sins, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, but they'll have great revivals and do great things, and many thousands of people will be moved by it and will begin to follow them. But he said that isn't the right way. Then he goes on in exhorting the disciples. They said, Lord, when will this be? Jesus said, he spoke of all of these terrible things that was to take place. And he said, and this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. Now then, I don't believe that Jesus was speaking just to that generation alone. I don't believe that he was just speaking to the disciples, saying that this generation, you, that your generation won't pass away till all be fulfilled. Though I know that that's what he was telling his disciples. But yet, I don't believe that he was speaking to them alone. I believe that he also had reference to the generation that was living at the time of all of these calamities. That when all of these things that he spoke of begin to happen, that at that time the generation that was living would not pass away till everything was brought to a consummation or an end. Where I believe also that he was speaking to his disciples, saying to his disciples that you, your generation, will not pass away till all be fulfilled, which I believe was his crucifixion at Calvary when Jesus said it is finished. I believe that the crucifixion of Calvary finished it all. I believe that was the end of it. And Jesus said to his disciples, even in your generation, you'll not pass away till all of these things be fulfilled. And then he spoke of seeing him come in his glory, whereas they actually saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration there as he appeared in his glory. But the thing is, Jesus said that there would be earthquakes, that there would be famines. Now we are having earthquakes. It's recorded like it never has been in the history of the world. Never before has it been this way. Earthquakes everywhere. We're fixing to go to Peru. They just had an earthquake down there in Peru. Went down to Guatemala not too long ago. They had not been too long, had an earthquake down there. See, not been long, had an earthquake over here in Mexico. And other places everywhere, there is earthquakes. The whole world is on the verge of just going into a convulsion, just breaking all to pieces. The fault lines are running everywhere. Now, it's like an eggshell that's just cracked all over. Everything is just about to come apart. All it would take is just a few good blasts from some nuclear bombs just to cause it to break open, and earthquakes would be everywhere. So then, Jesus kept exhorting them. Now, they said, Lord, when will these things happen? He said, at the end of the world. They said, but when will be the end of the world? He said, when this gospel of the kingdom has been preached in all the world for a witness, then shall the end come. But if you'll notice, he said that the gospel must first be published in every nation. It has to be published in China. It has to be published in Russia. It has to be published in Germany. All of these other places. It has to be published in those places. You remember I made this statement not too long ago. I said, the iron curtain will be rent. The bamboo curtain has to break open. See, the resurrection of the dead. I said, all those little countries that are separated, like West Germany and East Germany, Vietnam, North and South Korea, all these places will begin to knit themselves back together. And sure enough, they've already started. Now, I said, and when Russia, see, used to be our ally. And I said, and when Russia rises up and begins to want to have peace again, coming together with the United Nations, it will be typical of the resurrection of the dead. See, one time being allies with the United States and then separating and then dying. And the great middle wall of partition standing between them like that. You follow me? The Chinese power standing between them. How do you understand what I'm saying? Standing between them, that's become the great middle wall of partition. That's what's caused the division. And so then, when that great bamboo curtain is taken out of the way, then the red dragon goes out of the way. The iron curtain then is broken down because Russia won't stay away anymore. And there will be a strength and a union of coming back together because the great red dragon has been the one that's caused the trouble all these years. You say, Brother Pike, are you speaking against the Chinese people out of all the people of the earth? I certainly am not, because Chinese people are just like any other people. But it is a true fact that out of all the people of the earth, the Chinese people have the most unconcern about Jesus Christ. All other religions, just about everyone in the world, will somehow or another make its way back to a deity that has to do with Jesus Christ, but not China. They take Buddha, some big hunk of a metal sitting over there that's a nothing. And this, they make a god out of that. And they worship dragons and things like that. See, the middle wall of partition, it represents the devil. It represents the evil part. Now you say, Brother Pike, well, how do you get that out of the yellow man? You ever heard that saying, I got a hold of a lemon? You ever heard that saying that he's yellow? He won't fight? You ever heard that? Now, I'm not speaking against the Chinese people. I don't mean that. Because I still say some of the greatest people in the world are in China. But the type that they're following, just like the black man follows gross darkness covering the earth, so the Chinese people, they follow that pattern that's in between. The dragon, they follow that pattern that's divided the whole world. That's kept people from coming together. That's kept people from the great union of the Almighty God. Now, when he goes out, that is supposed to bring world peace. Now, don't you know that right now that Jimmy Carter has got it in his mind that he sees the problem? Don't you know that right now he knows that he can't work with China? And though he turned to China, yet there's little doubt in my mind that he has reason in his mind right now that China, you're the troublemaker. And what I need to do is get the rest of the world together, and you'll have to be quiet. And no doubt that's what he's got in his mind right now. All right, what was it that the Lord said to them? Now listen,
He said, and in that day, he said, shortly after the trouble, after the tribulation, he said, about the time of these sorrows, there'll be pestilence, he said. There'll be earthquakes. There'll be great famines throughout the world. We've heard of them over and over again. He said, and then, all of a sudden, there will be a tribulation such as the world has never known. He said, these things are the beginning of sorrows. And said, this great tribulation will begin to move in on the people. And at this hour, he says, shall be tribulation such as the world has never known. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. All of the nations of the world shall hate you because you are a Christian. You know why? Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you don't believe that all the people of the world are going to turn against the church people. I certainly do not. I believe that all the nations of the world is going to grab the church people, and the church people is going to lock arms with them, and all of them is going to marry the world, and it's just going to be one big frolic. But I believe the little group of people all over the world, from every corner of the earth, that stands for real holiness and stands for God, is going to be the rejected stone and the rejected people, and they're not going to confederate with the rest of the world, and the little group of Jesus-named people that's such a minority in the earth are going to be pushed out, and all of the world, including the church world, they're going to hate that little group of people. And they're going to want to kill them, because it goes back to Naboth's vineyard. Now notice what Jesus said. About this time, Jesus, he made the statement. He said, now when all of these things happen, when you see all the famines now, you see all of the earthquakes, when you know the gospel's been published around the globe, he said, and when all of these things begin to happen, they'll start closing in on you. You know the boycott, the Jim Jones thing. They'll all start closing in on you. He said, and then the tribulation period will set in. Because then comes the rapture. He said, and then the stars will fall from heaven. Isn't that right? He said, and the heavens shall turn dark. All of a sudden, he said, and the lights of the heavens shall go out, and the moon and the sun shall not give their light. Now, that can't be anything but that nova that scientists are speaking of that's laying right in there in the 80s. For they've already said that at that time, the sun will go out, all of the lights of the heavens will line up, and they'll go out. And the whole earth will have a darkness. For the Bible said that's the way it would be. That gross darkness would cover the people. All over the earth, the lights of heaven would go out. The stars would fall from heaven. Everything would turn dark up there. Why is that? Because when Jesus hung upon Calvary, the Bible said that the sun became as black as sackcloth of hair. What was it? The Lord could not look upon the sufferings of His own Son. And what does it mean when all of these lights begin to go out? The Bible speaks of the children of Israel, out of Egypt, I've called my son. Meaning that Israel is his son, his firstborn. And at that time of the tribulation, when Antichrist closes in, Israel will have to go through the chastisement of God and pass under the rod to show the crucifixion of Jesus. And at that time when they start into the tribulation, all of the lights of heaven will go out. What does that mean? It means that the church has been raptured and taken out of the earth. For without the church, there is no light in the earth. You're the light of the world, Jesus said. And if God takes the church out, there isn't any light in the earth anymore. So then the sun will have to go out. Everything will go into total darkness. And the Bible speaks of the kingdom of the Antichrist. And it says his kingdom was filled with darkness. And they gnawed their tongues. Filled with darkness. He smote them with balls as he did down in Egypt. And all of the plagues was poured out upon them as the angels took their vials and went through the air.
pouring the plagues out, one right after another, as the seven angels with the seven last plagues begin to fly through the air. And the Bible said that angel, just prior to this, that went to the golden altar there to get the little censer to fill it up with the fire and wrath of God's indignation. The Bible said he slung it into the earth. And there was lightnings and there was earthquakes and all of these things began to take place. And the world went into a convulsion. So then we made the statement. John said, I saw the islands move out of their places. I saw the cities of the nation crumble to the earth. Cities like New York, they just crumbled. The great huge skyscrapers crumbled to the earth from the great earthquakes and the great blast that shook the earth. He said they crumbled under the impacts. So then I made the statement that when we think about the world being upright and then being tilted in the days of Noah, then we find here with this great blast coming back upright, with man coming back upright on his axis, we see all of that fertile ground that's been fertile down through the years there underneath the ocean. All of that coming back up, all of that that's been watered all these years, that's preserved the elements, that man is not burned up or used up, or the sun is not drawn out. Here it comes back up and turned the whole earth into a garden, getting ready for the millennium. And we see this barren side of life that represents the government of today, this great stream of government that Antichrist has today. All of this government of today being Antichrist. All the educational systems of the world being Antichrist, it's used up, it's barren, it's gone. That barren side of earth turning down, going down into the deep, into the bottomless pit, turning down of the ocean. And we see that which resurrect, that resurrection of the dead, that fertile ground that lays deep under the water. God calling to it, out of there comes that vegetation, that beautiful vegetation. And the islands that once went down, that died out, comes back up. Showing the resurrection of the dead, and the whole earth begins to turn into a garden. And then God also calls dead humanity out of the earth to populate, because they too have not been used up in this world. In that they are green. The Bible said the trees of God are full of sap, full of life, planted, laid down, full of the greenage of God, full of the life of God, coming up to be again on an earth where there is food and where there is plenty of life. The days as it was in the days of Noah and the days of Enoch and the days of Methuselah. The same kind of vegetation coming up out of the earth that is so rich that when a man eats thereof, that he shall live 1,000 years. Not full of all the fallout, not full of all the stuff that's killing people. Not a lot of hybrid stuff, not a lot of perverted products, but that which is just as the way God made it in the Garden of Eden, coming up out of there. The end of the world, and the stars of heaven shall fall, Jesus said, and they shall fall from their orbit, and all of the lights of heaven shall go out, and the earth shall be filled with the darkness. What a sad day. What a sad day. And think, if that's that close at hand, that you and I had better get ready to get out of here. Our trip, I wish we had time to elaborate on tonight, but our trip going down to South America, going down there at this time, has to do with the resurrection of the dead. Maybe sometime we'll be able to highlight just a few little things that we understand about it. But it has to do with the resurrection of the dead. Going down there, that's what it's about. Going down there has to do with that. And I want to be part of what God's doing, don't you? I want to get into a stream with God. I want to keep my mind in heaven and my thoughts in heaven. And I want to see what's going on in the Spirit or going on in heaven. And I want to be part of what God's doing. I ask God to help me every day, take hold of me, and cause me to keep my mind in heaven. Keep my mind in heavenly places. Let me do something for Christ with my mind, with my hands, with my body. Let me live for Christ in every way and do something for Him. That's what I want to do. And I believe that's what we're going to have to do if we make it into the kingdom of God. Blessed is that servant that I so find doing at the end of the world when I come. If he is feeding my people, I will make him ruler over all that I have. All that I have. All right? That's all I'm going to say tonight. A lot of things I could say because I'm just getting wound up to really start saying. But that's all I'm going to say tonight because it's late.
I'm going to give you a break and let you go home. I want you to stand with me. Everything is shaping up so far just the way that we've seen it a few years ago. It is happening just exactly like we understood that it would happen. And even scientists has confirmed our statements. When we made the statement that the lights would be well on their way out by 1970, they've gone one right after another. And that in this year, that they would set things in battle array. Perhaps you don't remember me saying it. You see them set in battle array, 1 million men on one, 500,000 men on another. On the other fronts, they're getting ready. Jimmy Carter's beginning to prepare for war now. Talking about going down, getting a hold of Australia so they can make it a strategic point of attack. Everything is getting ready. And I said at the beginning of 80, and what I understood, that would be the beginning of the end. I made the statement a number of years back, or so long back, that I felt like that God would begin to terminate things when the 80s moved in, and that would bring on the termination. And I really believe that in my heart. I believe that they'll battle with hand combat for a while, and that they'll hold off of bombing just as long as they can, because each one is afraid of the nuclear power. Each one is afraid. They saw what it done when it was dropped on Hiroshima. And even Tokyo is trying to mediate between China and the nations, knowing the horribleness of their mistake when they attacked at Pearl Harbor and the nuclear power was used on them. They fear that should be used again. They know the terribleness of it. When they said that human bodies actually burst into flames when the bomb was dropped, little children walking along the road and playing at school, their little bodies all of a sudden burst into flames. So then, it's a sad time. Nothing can survive except the Word of God and they that are born of the Holy Spirit. But folks, if you've got the Holy Spirit, if you've been born of the Holy Spirit, there is nothing that can harm you. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. God will not bless anything of anyone that takes up arms against the children of God. So we have nothing to fear, nothing at all to fear. We're living in the last hours. Nation is now rising against nation. Look at it everywhere. Iran's rising up. The Arab nation is rising up. Israel is rising up. Russia, China, everywhere, nation against nation. And then it said kingdom against kingdom. Look at the black people and the white people rising up against each other. Look at the Spanish people rising up against the others. Look at the Indians that's rising up demanding their rights. Look at the kingdom of the women. The women just boycotted and the judge gave them the right to do it. Look at them, kingdom against kingdom. They're all rising up one against another. Everything is fulfilling. Pestilence. So many diseases you've never heard, like the epidemics. Always some new disease. Always pestilence of every kind, from Rocky Mountain ticks to I don't know what. Constantly trouble, betraying and killing parents. Children would rise up against their parents in the last days, cause them to be put to death. Look at the bunch of hippies. Don't love mama, don't love daddy, don't love anybody. Leave home, run off, rise up against the parents. Call them old fogies, kill them and anything else. Even Sun Yon Moon's group, I understand that they were taught, whether it's true or not, I don't know, but I understand they were taught to kill their own parents. Now, whatever it might be, I don't know, but I know that everything is coming to pass just exactly like Jesus said. And I believe with all of my heart, He said that you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake, and they're already beginning to hate us. They're beginning to come against the religious people already. They're beginning to despise us because they perceive that we're not of them and they're not of us and that we're destroying their world. But really, we're the salt of the earth. When we go out of here, God really will rain down the fire and the brimstone. He said it would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Man with man working that which is unseemly. That's happening all over the world. Bible speaks of all of these terrible things happening. They're becoming like a bunch of beasts. Said they'd be marrying, just marrying and giving in marriage. Eating and drinking. Just having a good time. Everywhere. Eating at the cafes. They can't eat at home anymore. They can't be satisfied with one wife or one husband anymore. Just a bunch of beasts. Everything. And I believe that inasmuch as all that happened, that it'll come to happen just exactly the way Jesus said, that the stars will fall from heaven. Right now, in the spiritual world, many religious people that have appeared to be great leaders and great Christians are falling from the spiritual ranks. Mommy and Daddy and others, all of them that seem to be great Christians down through the years, are being enticed by the things of the world. And they're beginning to fall away. And the world is beginning to see that they're no more than a bunch of reflectors. That all they've ever done is just reflect what the true children of God had. But in the midst of all of that, there's some stars that won't fall from heaven. There is some lights that will not go out. There is some people that will live on throughout eternity. For he said, "Arise, Zion, for thy light hath come. Arise and shine. Put on thy beautiful garments." We're going to shine. And all of the world, he said, shall see your glory and your shining, and they shall come to it, because all of the rest of the world will be dark. All of the Gentiles will turn to you, because you'll be the only light. And that light is the light of understanding to know what's happening. That light is the light of the mind of Christ that can see the future. The Holy Ghost showing us things to come that can understand what's taking place and what's going to take place. That is the light that they will seek, because they're going to be so confused. Their presidents don't have the answer. Their leaders don't have the answer. Their great rich men don't have the answer. The rich men will throw their riches to the bats. They'll find out that's not the answer. And they'll cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. Let's sing this little chorus together. You know, we sang the little chorus so many times, "Oh, how I love Jesus." I wonder how many times we really stop to think, and how many times we really ask ourselves a question. Do we really love Jesus? Do we really love Jesus? Do we really love Jesus? Let's sing that song together. And let's stop and think as we sing, can you? Let's just stop and think and say, "Jesus, help me." And ask yourself the question, do I really love you, Jesus? Do I really love you? How can I really know, Lord, that I love you? Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will keep my commandments. Hereby the love of God is perfected within you." Let's sing it together. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. To me, he is so wonderful. To me, Jesus is so wonderful. Oh, to me, he is so wonderful. Because he first loved me. I want you to pray. I got a letter from Brother Harold Walker the other day. Brother Harold is over in Manchester, Georgia. And Brother Tony had also come up to visit with us about the time of the letter. He was telling us that Harold wanted us to set the tent down in Manchester this spring and have a meeting in that area. So you pray that God will help us to know what to do about it. We also received a letter from the Bahama Islands, and they say that they have their new church built there now. And they've asked us to come over and minister for them in Bahamas, whereas we still have the invitation from Jamaica there at the convention, and they're waiting for us to come over there. And also our invitation to Bolivia still stands, and as far as I know, we're fixing to fill that invitation. We had an invitation, I believe it was, in the Venezuela and one or two of the South American places a number of years ago that we never did fill, but I made the statement that someday we'll fill those places. We'll go down there. And now we're ready to go down to that area. Pray that the Lord will bless us and that the Lord will help us and that we will be able to do something for Jesus. Brother Atlee will be going into Georgetown, Guyana, which is just right close to where the Jim Jones episode was, just a few miles away. And unless I drive down into Guyana, whereas from Venezuela, I can drive down as far as I know. It joins Guyana. We may drive down. We'll be there for a few days. But other than that, I won't get to go into Guyana. But I'm glad that Atlee and his companion is going into Guyana, because I had asked them to route my flight into Guyana, and they talked like they couldn't do it. It would have cost a good bit more for me to have routed into Guyana, and I didn't feel to do that. So Brother Atlee will be going in there to get literature into that area, and maybe someday we'll go there for a meeting. And I might even get in there this time. I don't know. I may drive down. But along with Uruguay and Paraguay, those two little places, I suppose that we'll probably get into at least one of them, maybe both of them. And by getting into Guyana, we will have gotten into all of South America, into about 11 or 12 countries or more. And that will be wonderful, because we will then have reached principally the entire continent, as far as this part of the continent in the Western world. A lot more to do in it, but I believe God will help us. And we've already reached a great part of that in the other part of the continent, and that we've already reached probably 8, 9, or 10 countries over there. And then our trip around the world that we're planning to take will take us into many more countries as we go into that part of the world. I want you to pray for us that God will be with us and help us. It's still a good while yet before we leave. We don't leave till the 19th. But you pray for us, because time will get away real fast now. We're trying to get literature ready, trying to get few other things ready to go, and there's a few other people I think that's going to make the trip. So you pray about those that are going into Jamaica. I suppose the ones that are going into Jamaica will probably drive to Miami or down to some nearby coast port of entry and leave from there. Some of them may leave from Atlanta. You know, Atlanta's a big place. I remember I made the statement that it would become one of the biggest, if not the biggest, in the world. Already the papers, I believe it is, stated that Atlanta is now the second busiest airport in the world. And said it looked like that by 1980, she will be the busiest airport in the world. And now by the big Sabena planes, 747s, you can fly straight out of Atlanta into Belgium now. So everything is just set. You know, I made the statement that I saw in a vision where the people in the foreign countries come to Atlanta, and I saw them look over Atlanta, Georgia. They look down like this over it with open hearts, with real sincere heart, as to consideration toward Atlanta as to what kind of place it was. And then I saw them as they saw the degradedness of it, frown on it, and turn away, realizing that it wasn't what they were looking for. So then we see it happening. They frown. They're frowning on Jimmy Carter, our president, and they're frowning on America. They're frowning on Atlanta, Georgia, whereas all of a sudden they were so interested in it a few months ago. Let's bow our heads together. I'm going to ask Brother Taylor, if he will, to come and dismiss you in prayer. Don't forget, tomorrow's Saturday. And you that can help us or are willing to help us, come and give us a helping hand. And don't forget the church job. If you're not going to help us, then work on the church job out there, if you promise Mike that you will.